PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the second episode of Off Course. You can follow us along on social at Off Course THP, no underscore or anything, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your host, Rob Miller, aka Rob Miller Time on social. And with me, as always, is Dan Edwards, aka Canadan on Twitter. And you can find him on other places on social as well. Dan, welcome in.
Hey, Rob. It's good to be back for week two. My first question to you is, do we need any sort of mulligan for week one? I had fun.
I hope we don't need a mulligan or a breakfast ball or whatever you want to call it. Well, regardless, we didn't get canceled, so they decided to put us back on the air.
Yeah, I noticed our socials are still running live, Off Course THP, on both Twitter and Instagram. No one's deleted those yet either, so if you're not following already, go check us out over there. We're going to have some fun and trying to keep this as integrated as possible with any questions you guys have that you want us to make conversation of.
Yeah, those passwords are locked in the vault, so hopefully we stay live.
So, Rob, what do we have on tap today for everyone?
Well, before we start off on tap, I just want to let everybody know that our podcast is sponsored by Squares. That's Squairz, which is a really cool, comfortable, performance-based golf shoe for the modern swing. Provides great balance and ground connection and alignment on every shot. So you can check them out on their website at www.squairz.com. That's Squairz. So they're helping us come to you today, and we've got a few things on the plate. We have golf finally confirmed, like live golf. We don't have a date yet. It's going to be sometime in May, and we've got the charity outing for COVID-19 charity, Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning. We're going to touch on that. Then we're going to talk about playing golf without fans, because it seems like that's going to happen. And how weird is that going to be? And does it matter what tournament and so forth? It probably does to me. But anyway, from there, we're going to talk a little bit about Tiger Woods' greatest major victory. And then if we have some bonus time, we're going to talk about our coronavirus lockdown drink of choice as requested in the forums. So ready to get started?
That's a big list. And yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. So when you found out there was some rumblings for the last, I guess, week or two that there was going to be another one of the matches. Did you watch the Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson match from last year?
I caught pieces of it. You know, looking back now that we're in COVIDian law and we don't get to enjoy sports, I look back and I think maybe I should have watched that and paid really close attention. But back then I was selfish and said, I don't need to pay for this. I don't need to take my time to watch it. But now it's like, yeah, tell me how much and when, and I'm there.
Please show me something, right? I mean, at this point, anything. I mean, I'm watching wrestling on TV without a crowd and just to see something, you know, I'm just anything that is sports related. So I did watch the match last year. I was really unimpressed. It seemed like the guys really weren't into it. And the last hole was kind of this playoff, like chip off thing was kind of a debacle, but please just get some live golf. This is going to be the first event on TV for us. And I think everybody is just waiting and just dying to get something, breadcrumbs, anything.
I think the addition of Brady and Manning makes it incredibly interesting for not just golfers, but fans of other sports. And I think this goes beyond football as well, because some of these guys, like obviously Tiger's a household name, but Phil, maybe not so much. When you incorporate some of these incredibly well-known athletes into an event like this, and suddenly, especially those who are just begging for sports the way we are, they might tune in purely on the fact that they recognize the names. What do you think?
Oh yeah, that's it's definitely a little bit more intrigue. Don't tell Phil he's not a household name, by the way.
I didn't say he's not a household name. He's just not as grand as our guy Tiger.
Gotcha.
There's a reason why our third point today, Rob, isn't Tiger or Phil's greatest major. Okay,
that's a good point. It'd still be a Tiger discussion. You know, basically. But anyway, I think the thing that strikes me is maybe the most interesting about it is that Brady is the only active, you know, he's an active football player. So he's going to Tampa and he's going to be allowed to participate in this where, you know, something can happen. Golfers get injured. I think that quarterbacks who are golfers especially could get injured. So I, you know, hopefully nothing happens, but you could, something funky could happen.
Like Manning run down the third fairway and, for lack of a better pun, throws a hip check on him.
What? Hey, I like the hip check reference, by the way. But yeah, well, maybe, I don't know. I'm going to guess no New York Jets are allowed to be in the presence of Tom Brady on that golf course, just, you know, just in case. Also Buffalo Bills and blah, blah, blah. Golf, not so much. But I think that's interesting. I have to go. I'm not a Brady fan, so I don't know who you are. But so that's really going to dictate that I would go towards Tiger rather than Phil in this match. What do you think?
I don't know. I think I've always gravitated towards Peyton. I mean, I've been here in Ohio for almost 20 years now, so I got the front and center view as a not Cincinnati Bengal but present in the city fan watching the Colts succeed the way they did. What I thought was interesting is Peyton has an incredible following, whether it's, you know, down in Tennessee or like in our Indianapolis, in Indiana as a whole, in our area. They were up at Muirfield in a Pro-Am, mm-hmm. And you've got Tiger and you've got Manning. And obviously the crowds are stacked, absolutely stacked. What the more compelling reality was, all the guys, all the people in the watching that had the Colts apparel, the Tennessee apparel. It's like, are you, who are you watching right now? You know? So I think from an interest standpoint, as much as Brady is considered maybe one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he has that to hold, I got to think the advantage here is on Tiger and Peyton. And I like that. I'm into it. That's my side.
Yeah. I know nothing about the golf games of Brady or Manning. I mean, I know they participate and plenty when I do the name, the pro on Twitter, I've looked through so many photos and there's a lot of, there's actually a lot of Tom Brady at like AT&T, you know, the Pro-Am and so forth. So I know he's a big golfer. I know Peyton is as well. I just haven't found as many photos of him. I don't know how that's going to kind of work out as far as, you know, is that going to be compelling, but it makes it a little lighter. Right. And so if the golf isn't as good, you're kind of like, okay, I know I'm going into it and the golf isn't going to be great. So I'm fine with it. Right. I mean, who knows how much Tiger has been hitting balls or Phil has been hitting balls. I saw on social media, Charlie Hoffman was like the other day, he just said, I haven't picked up a club since I think it was round one of the players. That was it. That was the last time he touched the club. So that's a while, especially for a pro. So I know that they're all on their Peloton, but nobody's swinging as much as they normally would. That's right. Well,
I'm betting Phil's still in the backyard with his swing trainer. Might be up to 135 mile an hour at this point.
Oh yeah, he's going. I think seeing like Bryson videos motivates him too. Right?
What do you think from a percentage standpoint? I'm assuming Tiger and Peyton have to be odds on favorite from a fan perspective. But what do you think percentage of people are going to root for them versus Phil and Brady?
Well, are you talking rooting for them because they want to, or rooting because as you're a, you know, finally as a sports gambler, you've got it back. You've got something back.
Ignore the results. Who's rooting for who? Like percentage wise, what do you think the numbers are?
I think because Brady is so polarizing, it's probably something like 65% towards Tiger, 70%. Maybe that's even low. To me.
Interesting. I want to say it's got to be over 70%. And I feel pretty good about it. Just because of the way they've been perceived over the years. And not to mention, you have larger generations, I think, following Manning. One thing I can't get over the fact that we have the notes sitting in front of us a little bit here. And I think it's funny how golfers get first name basis and football players get last name. If I say my buddy Tom, no one knows I'm talking about Brady. I say my buddy Phil. We know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. I think over 70%. I really do.
Well, I like I said, I can't really disagree with that. I mean, Tiger Woods is a different being completely. So, you know, we know that. And, you know, people who aren't just the typical golf fan, like the hardcore golf fan, casual fan roots for Tiger Woods, even like, you know, little kids that have nothing to do with golf yet. So I'm just happy that something like that is back on the docket. I'm looking forward to watching something, because during this lockdown, self-quarantine, social distance era, where, like, I went to the food store today, I risked my life, you know, to get Sunny D. And, you know, it's just crazy rules right now. Everyone, I can't believe how much I really do miss sports. You know, I really would rather watch that on TV than like anything else. I'm just going through Netflix binges. So bring this back. Let's get it going. I don't care if there are fans. I just care that it's on my, you know, 50-inch television there.
That's well, YouTube goes there, and there's some pretty juicy stuff. I'll have to send you some links later for yesteryear experiences. Not that it's new, but Rob, I do think this actually does play into our second conversation today really well. And you just mentioned who cares whether there are fans there. Now, from a golf perspective, I don't think it's going to have the same kind of impact that other sports will have. I know that's a big step, but golf is by design a sport played in quiet, whereas you have football, baseball, maybe not baseball, basketball, hockey. These are all sports that are just rowdy all the time. So my question to you is, should they play without fans for some time?
Well, I think that if you look, there's some articles that came out about the financial impact of it, and apparently only about 15% of any of their profits come from ticket sales. So that's not a big deal. Now, the corporate side of it is totally different, you know, the pro-ams and so forth. But they have these sponsors that they have to take care of. So, you know, not having fans when fans are mostly quiet anyway, I think that's what you're kind of leaning towards.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You
know, yeah.
Like it's mostly, you're mostly quiet, and then there's roars. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be people that are allowed in and milling about. I think you'll hear a little bit of this. They're not going to pipe in birds like in the Masters, allegedly. I'll never say anything bad about Augusta.
You're careful.
Yeah, I don't want to. So, oh wait, knock on the door. So, I don't think for us, we're not looking at fans that much anyway. So I think everyone is just really ready to get some golf on TV. It'll, like anything, there's a new normal out there. You know, there's a new normal of wearing your face mask to the grocery store and looking for gloves and making sure you have a wipe to wipe down your cart and stuff like that. You know, we'll kind of get used to it when they allow fans back in. I don't know. That'll be interesting, because other sports are talking about, what is it? I think hockey was thinking about I don't even know if you know this, but they're like a four city, four different locations to bring hockey back. And, you know, all those people have to be tested. I think in Major League, what is it? MLB, they're talking about they need like 1 million test kits and so forth. So if you're that worried about the players themselves, then fans are just not going to be on the course. You just can't control that outside influence.
So from a viewing perspective, since we're obviously going to be sitting at our house watching these on television, should they continue to happen, when they continue to happen, how does that experience change for you? I'm looking at it like, you know, I do get a thrill watching the crowds populate on Sunday afternoon and the crowd going, but I'm not going to miss mashed potatoes or Baba Booey or, you know, the glares of Johnny Unhappy Pro, who just duck hooked one and is looking for someone behind him to blame. it's almost going to be a more personal experience with these pros for me personally. What do you think for that?
Yeah, it's going to be more of when they just go out and play a round, I guess, like a serious round with their fellow friends, competitors, whatever you want to call them, counterparts. One thing I'm not going to miss is the free drop off the grandstand. That's going to be great. What a big positive that is, because you know these structures aren't going to be up. You know, those things get put up, I don't know, like months prior, you know, the construction starts. So you're not going to see that. So things are going to look different, but maybe it'll look similar to, well, I don't know, like Kohler, right? It was really tough for fans there. I mean, we know how that ended for DJ and so forth.
Chambers Bay is another good example. It's brutal to navigate these places.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not going to see that. It'd be interesting. It's kind of almost like, wow, I wish the waste management was on the docket, right?
So you can see
what that was like. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah,
that was on my mind, on the tip of my tongue, thinking it's almost a shame that it's already come and gone, because there is an allure to that. And I feel like people would tune in just to be reminded. I remember watching, was Tiger one of Tiger's hole in ones as a young kid?
Yeah.
On that hole, he's doing, you know, the fist pump in the air back when that was a big thing.
He did the raise the roof.
Yeah,
like it got people. It's funny, like how back then, like 24 years ago, people were like, "What's he doing?" You know, it's like such a
big thing. But I mean, that hole just doesn't have the same feel to it without the grandstands. It's almost like if it was coming, they'd build it anyway, just to say this is where people could be.
Yeah, that there, I looked at that earlier this year, and some people were telling me that the difficulty, like, why don't they just build that and leave it, right? Why don't they make that a permanent structure? And it's something of the way that, you know, who owns the land of the course? Like, the course doesn't own the land. It's like state run, something like that. And for permanent structures, it's like, you know, it's some sort of legal mumbo jumbo that doesn't allow it to stay. Because I think that if you were to go out to Arizona and play that course, you'd be like, wow, this is awesome. I can see what it's like. And then, but they won't allow it to stay up all year round. So without that, it's just, and I know there's plenty of people out there who've played it without the grandstand being up, but it's just a rinky dink, 135 yard par three when it's stretched somewhere around there.
So I want to touch on something else a little bit. It's still relates to the without fans, but this is more about how we digest the game, because everyone's going to be, who is a fan of golf, will be at home, certainly with the extra time on their hands, assuming this extends it to any level. Do you think the pros are going to be put under a much more aggressive microscope with how they react to things? And I'm looking at it that twofold. Number one, how they deal with good and bad shots, but also number two, you have the intrigue that is provided by the way they interact with fans. I mean, Ernie's famous for it. Some guys are famous for it in the wrong way. You don't have little kids to hand a glove or a ball to. You don't have hands reaching out for a fist bump in a critical moment, deciding whether you're going to do that. How does the fan perceive and create a connection to a pro golfer when it's just the pro out there?
Well, when you're watching it on TV, I think there's a couple of things with the coverage that not change, but maybe evolve. I think that there's going to be a lot more commentary, you know, for color commentary, people walking the course and so forth. So you're going to be, as a viewer, kind of on the lookout for different things. Maybe you wouldn't see it normally, you know, maybe we're going to get something like that, because you're going to have to fill it, and there's no roar and like you're saying, celebration to the crowd, putting your, you know, hand to your ear and things like that. That's not going to happen. Even going between holes, and you know, like high five and a fan here and there and going on to the next tee box. It's going to be totally, totally different. So it's going to be so quiet. Maybe you're going to hear, what if there's a weight on a tee? Can you imagine? Do you think Phil is going to shut his mouth and not say something while someone in front of him is a little slow?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you catch something like that. That'll be interesting. And then also, I really hope, it's kind of a little tangential, if that's a word, But I hope that there's some sort of like drone coverage or something like that, where we get a little bit of a different view what we normally do, because we can, we're not worried about the crowd and things like that. So maybe they can do something cool there. Maybe they will. I hope they do. But
do you think the excitement of a win will be as explosive from a player without thousands of people watching him? I mean, it's still big money. Let's not pretend it's not, but a lot of the times these guys live and breathe by the crowd. And if they're loud, so is the player. If they're quiet, subtle reaction from the player.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I mean, to them, it's going to be a little bit bizarre, you know, just like it is to us. I would think it'd have to be. I haven't really seen any interviews with players on how they think they're specifically going to react. But I think what you might get is you might get a couple guys who normally wouldn't win, you know, getting that victory and it being really important to them, because normally, you know, that, you know, bring back, put Johnny Miller, hey, put him back in the booth. How about that? How about a special Johnny Miller appearance to tell us that everybody's choking or not choking because you don't have that crowd. You don't have all those eyes on you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's less pressure. You know, the flip side of that is you could hear sounds from all, you could hear what kind of like going on maybe all over the course. So if there's fewer, there's not roars, but there's going to be cheers somehow, you know, people, family members who are following them, caddies and you know, you still have to have, you know, sign holders and marshals. So if a big name does something, you're going to hear it a little bit, especially more than, you know, if, you know, Charles Schwartzel birdies, you know, something like that. No offense to Mr. Schwartzel, but so you're going to hear different things as long as the networks decide to, you know, cover those things too. Right. Cause that's the other thing.
I'm going to set you up for a comment I know you want to make. Should they consider not playing particular tournaments because there aren't any fans present?
As far as the PGA Tour is concerned, I say no. They should play them all. Definitely. That's what I think. I want to see golf, and maybe that's a little selfish, but I want to see golf. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think from a PGA Tour perspective, we obviously have some greater elements, but and even from something like an Olympics, it wouldn't bother me at all if there weren't any fans there.
You just described the Olympics.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe the last one. Who won that, by the way? So
Mr. Rose, just
yeah. So I don't know. I don't think outside of feeling additional excitement, I think as long as this is time limited, where it doesn't continue for months on months on years, I think this will be a very fun experience for those who are passionate about golf. I think it's a totally different avenue that we get to take as golf fans to watch incredible skill without dealing with noise and guys wearing Ricky Bobby costumes from early in the year. I remember that dude, but you know, it just kind of takes away and
shake and bake.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, golf is in a good position in that it's not a contact sport, and you really, as far as social distancing in sports, it's pretty damn good. Right. So they should be the first back, and they should try to take advantage of that as much as they can. The other sports like your hockey and so forth. What if someone on a team gets, you know, they start playing and then someone gets the coronavirus and then all of a sudden four players have it from the same team. What happened there, right? I mean, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You can't shut it down for another 14 days. That type of thing. So anyway, I think that we should be happy that it's back even without fans. The biggest thing that comes along is what do you do if you're still in that lockdown, social distancing, no fan era when we get to the Ryder Cup?
Well, Poulter's out, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's going to 3-putt, 4-putt.
Can you play a Ryder Cup without fans?
I don't know. At first, when I heard people were like, if there's no fans, you got to cancel the Ryder Cup. Maybe that was the Euros saying it because the U.S. is just going to, they're going to wrap it up on day two. So it's just no fans. But that it's a good question. I think without fans, it's going to, you know, we wouldn't get the Rory, Patrick Reed back and forth type of thing. And, we wouldn't get a Boo Weekly. Isn't it crazy to think that Boo Weekly?
You're not getting the show that you want to see. You're not getting the craziness that is the Ryder Cup, the living, breathing lunacy that is the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it's so interactive. You know, Bubba Watson telling everybody to cheer on the first tee and so forth. I forget where that was, Hazeltine or something. I forget. But I think now, as I've talked about it, I would postpone the Ryder Cup if there's no fans on site. I really would. I would say, hey guys, we've postponed it before. We'll just do it again. We'll just postpone it again.
So to go away from that a little bit, but to kind of finish this conversation about fans and whether they should play without them present, what tournament would be most compelling for you to watch at home with no fans? What course do you want to experience with the best players in the world without fans?
I mean, it would have to be Augusta. I would watch just Augusta without players. I would just sit there and watch, you know, someone walking along.
So if Augusta came out with like a whole 18 cam that never left, it just had guys flowing in, you'd watch it all day?
Oh, I used to watch back in the infancy. I think it was before Augusta actually had an app, right? Before Masters had an app. They would just have From the Range, and they'd have a couple commentators, and they just show people at the range. And when I think about it, I remember it was the old range. It was before they expanded it and so forth, because like Dustin Johnson was like blasting things over or whatever. I don't even know what year this was, but Shingo Katayama. You remember Shingo Katayama? Maybe you don't even remember him, but he would wear this kind of like Australian kind of outback hat. He could swing so perfect lefty and righty. It was amazing. And that was part of his like warm-up routine. And I remember that vividly from the range. I mean, I would be on there all day because, as everybody knows who probably listens to Off Course and visits the Hacker's Paradise and is on the forum, it's like, hey, I'm working. I want to be talking about golf, though. I want to be watching golf. I mean, that fuels us. So if it was Augusta, I'd watch it all day. Is there something? I'm going to phrase it this way to you: is there another course besides Augusta that you'd?
Well, I was. You know what? It's funny you say that, because it's like, are we going to just immediately exclude Augusta, because we all know the answer to that? And quite frankly, if you give me a day there, I might play the par three 40 times. But I think for me, it's about a personal experience. And I went down and played Valhalla a few years ago. It's not too far from us here in Southern Ohio. Yep. And it was so quiet and so out of place. It was a very interesting, enjoyable experience for me. One that I'd love to take on with the pros as well. And, you know, obviously we've had events there. We've enjoyed the grandstands and the experience that comes with that. But I think it'd be really fun to watch people walk around that area and play their best. Well,
we're going to mention Valhalla later as well.
Okay. So I did like that plug to the community, Rob, and I think this will be a great conversation to get going once episode 2 airs. So for those who are fans of THP's forum community and those who aren't familiar, head over there. We will have a thread up, a conversation going. Make sure you guys tell us where you'd want to play, and not just where you'd want to play. Sorry, not where you want to play, where you want to see the pros play without fans. What would be the most interesting, not Augusta course that you would want to play?
Yeah, that I can't even think of another. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Rob. We'll see you later.
Yeah, no problem. I'm done.
And my next guest.
Thanks. Yeah, my next guest.
Well, I think we hammered that one pretty good. We got some good thoughts overall, and obviously we want to see fans be able to get back out there and enjoy the game they love. But I think we move on to the what might be the biggest conversation here today, which would be the greatest major that Tiger Woods ever won.
Yeah, you posed, set it up. You posed a question in the THP forums, and what'd you ask?
Yeah, so I'm
started on
COVIDian Law says I don't sleep a lot at night and I watch a lot of YouTube. All right, so I'm over there surfing a little bit, sick of Netflix, and I click on this video. They called it Perfection at Pebble or something like that. And I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, fun.
And it's Tiger Woods absolutely obliterating the field at the US Open. This was a 15 stroke victory. This is in 2000, back in a year when dominance was a little bit limited, short of maybe one Tiger Woods. He'd already won by a pretty significant margin before, but this one, it just felt like it was never his not to win. And I enjoyed an hour's worth of video talking about his performance, a couple small errors, but in an incredibly difficult pebble condition, beat the field by 15 strokes. So we're having a conversation on the THP forums, the community. And I posed it this, is this Tiger's greatest major? I mean, he has a list, obviously it's long. But Rob, to you, to that end, and this is 100% your opinion, not like de facto, we can come to the different conclusions. That's fine. What is his greatest major?
So are we like, I should have excluded Augusta from the course discussion. Should 2019 Augusta National victory for Tiger Woods, should that be excluded, or what is that? Or is that on?
So is, maybe I should have said greatest achievement in a major. I mean, you know what? Coming back, the comeback story of a lifetime that none of us expected, but all of us wanted, right? Was for Tiger to come back and find a way to claw into another major. And of course he did it last year. But I think it's such a different story than a couple of these here. I mean, was it dominant? No, I would say no. Was it predetermined the way that some of these majors seem to be? Definitely not. What was he like? What were his odds? I can't remember. They weren't great. They were not good.
I don't remember what they gave him, but I mean, so many different things had to happen for him to win last year. It's
right.
It's pretty amazing. Cause I did watch that, you know, they showed the, it's, you know, that they showed, what was it on Golf Channel? They showed 97. They showed, Phil's victory in 2004. They showed 2019. And what was the other one? Was it 2005? I think they showed that as well. If I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's really, so they have their idea as well. I will tell you, this is what I think. I think I'm getting back to Valhalla in 2000. This is my runner up. All right. I'll preface it with that. But my sleeper was a 2000 PGA where he had this duel with Bob May, a journeyman professional, where it was amazing to watch. It was 18 holes of back and forth. And then on the first playoff hole, that's the clip where Tiger makes his birdie. Spoiler alert for anybody who born in 2001. That's where he runs and points at the putt, walks it in. You know, that was so cool. And then they both made a mess of the 18th hole, or right. Excuse me, the last hole. But ultimately, Tiger had a really nice bunker shot in order to win. If that wasn't against Bob May, you know, if that was against someone else like Els or whoever, then I think people are, that's going to be more in their minds as far as, wow, what a duel. Because you just mentioned so many Tiger wins that were not duels, right? They're predetermined. Mm-hmm. It was like, 2005 against DeMarco. That was pretty cool too. We saw a lot of TV coverage because there was a lot of rain that day. So I think they played essentially a round and a half on the Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. But one that we were talking about pre-show, we were lining it all up, getting it all in order. And I would go with this one is 2001, the Masters victory to complete the Tiger Slam.
So I like that you said that, because the PGA that you think so fondly of set the stage for what would be an incredible amount of pressure at the 2001 Masters. And that's to complete the Grand Slam in his version, what they deemed as the Tiger Slam. That's a great story, but do you have, and that's where it gets really interesting, because do you have the compelling 2001 Masters story without the 2000 PGA Championship story? Can you validate that as one of his greatest achievements, or is it all kind of setting the stage for each other?
Well, I took it as I took it in cumulative, right? I said it's kind of an aggregate. I don't think you're ever going to see somebody who holds all four majors at the same time again. The only difference is that it wasn't in the same calendar year, but it was in the same 12 months.
You better hope Koepka's not listening to this podcast, man. He's going to blame you on social, saying you're a doubter.
Bring it on, Brooksy. Hey, we'll see how his knee's doing. It hasn't been good. Do you know, one off course mention of the FedEx Cup standings, he's outside of the top 125. I know that was on your mind. It's a little fun fact for you.
It's a 0.6 that didn't quite make it into the roundup today. So
we'll do next week all FedEx Cup.
So Rob, think about 97, the great, we've got a little list up here, and I keep seeing the word coronation, basically the entry point of the dominant version of Tiger Woods. He wins the Masters tournament by 12 strokes, right? Like plows. And this was at the time one of the most dominant major performances in history. So can that not, because he'd never done it before? I mean, you have 15 at the, I'm forgetting all the numbers, the 2000 US Open. You have the 15 stroke win. Incredible. But to do it at the Masters in 97, setting the stage for the potential to break endless records at 12 stroke lead, is that not kind of like the penultimate?
Well, I can't really argue with it. I think you're looking at it. I'm looking at what came before and then what was the exclamation point, if you will, on it, right? With 2001. You're looking at, like you said, coronation, what started. It started a lot of important things in golf. It started Tiger proofing of courses, not just at Augusta, but throughout the PGA Tour. I mean, people were like, what are we going to do here? You know, that was what started it. I'd argue that the 2000 season also like furthered that as well. That was huge. I mean, it was 72 hole record at the Masters, right? Correct. And especially it was relation to par. I don't think the par has changed there. It also, if it happened in 96, would have totally changed Happy Gilmore as we know it. Think about that. People don't think about that. important points here.
Okay.
The other thing is it was purses too, right? The winner prize money went crazy after that. If you look at what Tiger won at the Masters in 97 compared to, you know, what the top 30 win now. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I mean, we're looking at two different perspectives. You're looking at the start of something big, and I'm looking at something which I just don't think that anyone else is going to do during our lifetimes.
So the validation at Pebble, this 15 stroke win, we were talking earlier pre-show, mentioning that two errors cost him 5 strokes. It could have been a 20 point lead by the time he was done. And frankly, it felt like a victory lap watching the video. I wasn't massively into the game from a viewing perspective at the time. So while I might've watched a bit of it with my dad, I'm sure it didn't have the same spectacle for me at the time as it did watching it back now. But then you think back to 97 and that first 9 holes, he shot a 40. Change that to a 35. And you can make the same argument. And I'm sure going back to, you know, 20 or more of his tournaments, you could say the same thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I couldn't find a lot of coverage about that, but you're right. He went 40-30. And I think on the front nine, he actually putted off a green into the creek. I don't know if it was the fifth or something. I forget, but I can't find a lot of coverage of that, but it's true that he lost a lot of strokes there. Whereas when he won in 2000 in St. Andrews, you know, he won by eight, which was super impressive. Was that the one? I don't even think he hit driver all week, right? And he didn't
want just stingers all week. Well, yeah, I always heard that as soon as Tiger hits one stinger, the driver's gone.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one person that could survive on stinger alone, but refuses to, it would be Tiger Woods. That's mm-hmm. right. But I don't think he wound up in a bunker. I mean, it was just an amazing performance. So it was just such dominance. I think 2000 to 2001 was really insane as far as the good golf that Tiger Woods was playing. I don't think anyone else is going to approach that, because I know that we've tried to anoint Rory as like the next, and he racked up majors at first. When you know, I'm serious about this. With maybe I have my fingers crossed, but if you know, like within the first three holes, whether Rory is going to have a good day or not, that's it. I mean, you could say he's going to have a bad tournament and then he's going to
say that. Would you say the first three holes or the first three putts?
Yeah. Well, that could be the first hole then.
So I feel like, even though we're just about done with this conversation, I feel like not mentioning 08 and the broken leg would be pretty unfair. The damage he had. Now, I did watch that one too, and it's not as compelling. Obviously, Rocco's an interesting dude. But once you get into that playoff with a guy like him, for him to claw back was wonderful, but all eyes were on Tiger, I think, even with the damage that was already done. So impressive, no doubt. I can barely play golf after working 8 hours. So playing on a broken leg is unbelievable for what it was, but is it measurable?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. I think the important point is you said that you get into a playoff, if Tiger gets into a playoff, you know, 18 holes the next day, that Tiger is going to take care of business. And I think Rocco knew that. So mm-hmm. that was really it, right? Cause that was back in the Tiger Woods was so intimidating to everyone else and their competitors. So you knew that was kind of going to happen. I mean, Rocco was trying to do what Bob May couldn't, essentially.
Right. He was 2-0 major playoffs at the time. Yeah, he was hurt, but I think it was pretty much assumed. And for Rocco to come back the way he did and claw, that was incredible. I enjoyed that immensely, but you know, I don't know. It just didn't feel the same way as some of these others do.
No, it didn't. You knew, I mean, Tiger's so dominant. You can, when you're asked a question about him, you can just say he's Tiger Woods. That's all you have to say. And that's a valid argument.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, I love that. And for those listening along who do enjoy social or the THP community, please take some time to tell us what your favorite Tiger Woods or greatest Tiger Woods major is from your eyes, from your perspective. Outside of that, Rob, we do have a bonus question. It probably won't take long unless you are, in fact, a bartender. I don't know that you are. But what are you drinking in the evenings during COVIDian law?
The drink of choice is some form of scotch with a little with a rock in it, you know, not ice, but unless it's cheap scotch. But that is the drink of choice. And I have to be careful because you can't have a lot of scotch, because otherwise then yeah. Start time traveling.
So we're in Cove April. So
Cove April.
How much bigger has the glass gotten over the last month or two?
Well, it's gotten a few nicks on it, that's for sure. I agree with that. And you know, that unfortunately it does get a workout. I'm not sure it actually gets out of the this is how you tell, is if you take it out of the dishwasher and it never actually gets back into the cabinet that it belongs in, then you know it's COVIDian law. So that's what I think. What about you?
Man, I've been a rum guy for a long time. It's in my family blood. But recently, I've snuck away from it a bit. And we are cleaning up some Crown Royal that's in the cabinet.
Cleaning it up. So you're doing your part.
Yeah, I'm trying to make room for other options. So yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. But right now, a little bit of Crown and some Diet Coke, which is the only thing I'm willing to put in it.
I got you. Well, it's good that you're thinking about cleanup. It was just Earth Day yesterday, and I know that was on your mind. It was weighing on you heavily.
Well, I don't want to tell you, Rob. I golfed yesterday.
Oh, get out of here, man. I just got a text from a buddy of mine who's a doctor. So he actually runs an emergency room. So he's been on the front lines for all this. And we're members of the same club, and it's been closed. And we just found out that New York is opening up their courses, and we're just like, where's New Jersey? Why am I paying this money? So let's hope by next podcast I have some happy news, even though it hailed today.
Yeah. I don't envy where you are, but I do hope for everyone out there, they are staying safe, and those who can golf are doing it in the right way, the respectful way. I know I am here. I don't want to be the guy that gets called the local offices and ruins it for everyone else. So
no. And if you're pull the pin kind of guy, this is not your time. So I usually like to, but I will live with anything.
We're talking about that next week, Rob. I can't wait.
All right. Let's do that. Hopefully with some on-course discussion.
Yeah, man. I want to thank everyone who brought questions to us. I think that's really fun to incorporate some of your ideas into our podcast. Off course was actually pretty in line this week. We didn't make too much of a mess of it, which is great.
Turns out this writing down stuff actually works.
Either way, keep asking those questions. This has been a blast. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat.
Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in, and make sure that you check out our other podcasts on the THP Radio Podcast Network, Golf Unfiltered, and also Range Days is coming up.
Upcoming. We've got some big plans for Range Days, so stay tuned. Keep an eye on that name.
You can do some 2 days, maybe.
Yeah, man. Maybe even more. But do go make time for our friend Adam over with Golf Unfiltered. Outstanding podcast. He won't invite me back on, and that's fine. I'm not mad about it. I have my own now.
Yeah, that's right. You're busy. Can't have you.
There you go.
And thanks again to Squares, SQAIRZ. Go check out their shoes. We appreciate them sponsoring our podcast as always.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.